When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him, and he won't prosper, no, 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 no. It won't work. Say no weapon. If I could get somebody to stand with me tonight and declare that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No weapon formed against your home. No weapon formed against your children. Say, it won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Cause I know God will do what he said.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. And I thank God today for his precious Holy Spirit who have guided all of us, each of us, to this place. Amen.
Amen.
And good morning to all of our locations and that have joined us this morning by way of our streaming, all of our campuses. Your church, your home today is considered a campus. Amen.
Amen.
Nation's Harvest Campus. Let's give God a praise for that. So, Nation's Harvest over the period of the last 3 months have just blossomed into just a huge mega church, amen, from city to city, because every household this morning, whatever your address is, has become a campus for this great move of God. And I praise God for that. I want to welcome the saints of God that are here with us in our physical church here this morning, as well those as welcoming those that are in our virtual church. God is just good. He's an awesome God. Amen. And there are so many wonders to be performed. Hoping that everything is coming. We were trying to get make some technical tweaks this morning to make sure that everything was going across well. Gonna give all of our spotters, those that are with us, that gives us feedback to make sure that we're going across clear and everything is coming through. Give you all a chance to get everything together, as we had to make some adjustments this morning. And if everything is well, we're going to move forward. Amen. Today, I'm excited. I want to also say today, to our campus, one of our campuses in Cleveland, Ohio, happy birthday to Pearl Hirth. Amen.
Amen.
This is her birthday, the wife of Samuel Hirth, Cleveland, Ohio. As I was taking a look through, and I thank God for Facebook, it's like your calendar that you never created yourself, but is there. And I hope that when you put your birthday into Facebook, that you put it on the right day, or I may be telling you your Facebook birthday. So you can't blame me for that one. Now, if you didn't put the right birthday, because I can't remember everyone's birthday, but I do say today to you, Pearl, happy birthday. And there's a great celebration that goes out to you. And I know that this is accurate because my cousin and her son Jermaine told Mom happy birthday. And I'm hoping that one day, and he may be here today, that my cousin Jermaine Hirth is going to be here as well. Somebody told him that I'm summoning him to come and join us on Sunday mornings here on the Sunday service. Amen.
Amen.
So all points bulletin for Jermaine Hirth. Amen. Anybody see him in or around Cleveland, East Cleveland, anywhere in the state of Ohio, tell him that his cousin Don from Alabama put out an all points bulletin for him to be here on Sunday morning in Sunday service. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to have a word of prayer, and I want to speak with you this morning about something that I feel that is important to us, something that's going to give us a sense of direction is going to help to make purpose full. It's going to help to make purpose full. Purpose must be full. Full as in as in the measure of our purpose must be full, not half full, but purpose must be full. And when purpose is filled, then you will feel purposeful. God bless you. Eternal God, we thank you so much today for so many things, but most of all, God, we thank you for Jesus, your Son and our Savior, whom you have given unto us. God, he who becomes sin for us, gave his life for us, and shed blood to us. We thank you, God, for all of this that lead unto our salvation. We thank you for being the perpetuation. We thank you, God, for the sanctification. God, we know that all of these are the components that make our salvation full. Now, Lord, as we move into the service, I ask that you would just cause our ear to hear, not from the voice of the vessel, but God, hear from the voice of God as you speak into us by your Holy Spirit. We need something today, God. We need something today. All of us in our own individuality are confronted by various things. Not that it's a trouble, not that it's a problem, but God, we're confronted by things because we need to know what the next move will be. So God, we're seeking you today for a sense of direction. Not that anything is wrong, but God, we want to be precise with you. And we want to move in precision so that we can get the most out of what you promised us. And that is abundant life. This we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah today. In the book of Isaiah chapter 43. And this is going to be from my lecture, Moving Forward series. It is a Moving Forward series that I think a few Sundays ago, not very many Sundays ago, that we had another installment from the Moving Forward series, or it may have been the Decision and Destinies. Yeah, that's what it was. But if I had you in Psalms 37, where it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, then that's from the Moving Forward series. Now, you know, I'm not on a scheduled Bible class with you guys, but I'm going to make sure that you get your instructions, period. You guys are graduates now. You're no longer primer. You're no longer, you're graduates now. So you have to be treated as graduates. Amen. You've got to be able to do your own self-study. Amen. You've got to do your own managing units. You have to study as well on your own. You've got to take what you receive here, go back, and you've got to work on it for yourself. You've got to build your theses. You've got to build your studies. You've got to work on this. Amen. But Isaiah 43, and if you will peruse in Isaiah 43 down to verse number 18. Now, I will tell you, you're going to have to keep your Bible open, because this is going to be the verse that is the foundation, and everything forward is going to build on it, because there are several other scriptures that we're going to give reference to. So you got to keep your Bibles open. So let me give everybody just a couple of more minutes to get their Bibles in case they were just going to be depending on me to read. And then that was going to be it. But you're going to have to work with me. So get your Bibles. Go to Isaiah 43. And then we're going to move down to verse number 18, where it says, forget the former things. This is instructions from God. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Verse number 19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. This is God speaking. And what I need you to do is to forget the former things. And the way that you forget them is to not dwell on them. Because because they are going to be remembered. So the forget does not mean that you're going to be able or that you have actually the capability to do so, is to put something completely out of your mind. But here is how I want you to forget them. Don't dwell on them. So when it comes up, just let it go. All right? So that's the instruction. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Now, that's the one direction. Here's the other direction. Look forward. I'm doing a new thing. So I'm not only giving you the instructions of what not to do, but I'm also giving you instructions on what to do. Redirect your attention from what is behind you and refocus it upon what is before you. You can be seated because I'm going to be giving commentary as we go. So there is your move now. Okay, so everybody now by practice, look behind you. Just look behind you from where you're sitting. Just look behind you. All right. No, turn all the way around, not beside. You got to turn all the way around and behind you. All right. Now you look back here. Now I want you to forget what you just saw. Don't dwell on it. And I want you to focus here now on what's coming to you practically right now. What's coming towards you right now? My voice, the word, the preached word, the sermon, the Sunday service experience is coming at you right now. This is it. This is it in full bloom. It's coming at you right now. Sunday service is coming at you. How is it coming at you? It's coming at you with the preached word of God. And this is what I want you to notice, is that as I'm coming, I'm not coming with an old message. I'm not coming on a leftover message. I'm coming to you with something that is going to be new. It's because my focus point is not on the man or the vessel, but I'm focusing on the preached word of God. I'm going to set my mind up right now that what's coming towards me is something that is refreshing. It is refreshing. I need this. Say that right now. I need this. Now preach to me, man of God. Why should I preach to you? Because I need this. It's what's coming at me. It is before me. I am waiting for what has not yet been spoken. I'm waiting to hear. I'm preparing myself. He says, this is how it does, and this is how it's coming at you. Back to the text. It's springing up. Don't you see it? It's springing up. It's coming up right now. Don't you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. Now, I want you to redirect what's coming at you, and I want you to parallel it to where you are in your life right now. And your life right now, based on the text, is being identified as a wilderness. What's going on in your life right now is being identified as a wilderness. Now, some is wilder than others. But we all have a wilderness. It may be simply that you didn't make up your bed this morning. It may be that you left a sink full of dishes at home. It may be that you didn't wash your car. Oh, well, it's raining today, so you got help with that one. You didn't mow the lawn. I don't know how to describe your wilderness. School is out, so you don't have to worry about homework, right? So that's not my wilderness. Things undone, things that are in process, coming at you, and I want you to behold that what's coming at you is about to make a new way in your wilderness, streams and wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. To give drink to my people, my chosen. Verse number 21, the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. God is working in the lives of people all around you. My question is, why not you? God is working busy, effectively, effectually in the lives of people around you. My question to you is, why not you? You know, why shouldn't you also be the recipient of the abundance that God is giving in health mentally, in health physically, in help financially, in help family, in help relationships? Why shouldn't God come at you in your wilderness with something that is refreshing? He should, because he's doing it to many people around you. Just clap your hands for a minute, because somebody right now around you is being blessed. I want to move forward now from this being the foundation, and we have established that God is coming at me with something. He's moving towards me. He is not going to permit my circumstance or the current climate of my life dictate to him what he's going to do. It's because he's going to come at me with this new thing. It's going to be up to me today to be the receiver of it. He's coming at me, and it's up to me to be the receiver of it. I used the analogy a couple of days ago. The ball is coming. Now it's up to you whether you knock it out of the park. God is coming at you with something, and you can make this a grand slam. You can make this a home run. Now, there are two things that I want to point out right now. There, as God is coming toward you, you're coming towards him. Now, there are two negative things that can happen right here. Two negative things. The first thing is that you cannot move forward and stand still simultaneously. You cannot move forward and stand still simultaneously. You're either going to move or you're not going to move. All right? Now, let me tell you why you wouldn't move or can't move. One, something is holding you back. You can't move because you have allowed something to hold you back. If anyone ever in here in this room today, anyone listening to me, ever had to tell someone, I said, let me go? Y'all got it. I mean, it may have not been in like those were fighting words, but it was like you're playing, but like if you don't let me go, this is going to move from play to something serious. Let me go. Do you change your voice when you tell something to let you go? Does your voice change? The whole you change? Does your demeanor change? When you say, let me go, is that usually in just a regular tone of voice? No. When you say, let me go, it's meaningful, right? Yes. And that's what I need you to tell to whatever is stopping you from moving forward. Let me go. And you can't be passive with it. Let me go. Let me go. You cannot move forward while standing still. And the only reason that you're standing still is because something is holding you. You've got to say, loose me. Loose me. Loose me. Now, the second reason that you can't move forward is because you become stagnant. It's not because something's holding you, but in this case, it's just that you're out of fuel. Okay? You're just out of fuel. You become, let me give you a common everyday word for it. You're just pitiful. Pitiful. It's not that you can't. It's just that you don't have any desire to. You're there because you've lost all desire to go forward. Okay? You've lost the desire. Again, it's almost like something is still holding you back because, I don't know, it's not necessarily that we let other people rob us of the desire to move forward. Sometimes we just give it up ourselves. Everything that the devil has, he didn't take it from us. Some things, we just gave it up. You remember anybody that's been around me for the last 20, 25, 30 years? Did the devil make you do it? Or did you make the devil make you do it? He was minding his own business until you just gave him an invitation. You made yourself a target. You told him, come and get me. You're sitting there. You're sitting in your melancholy in that old dusty dress. You won't get up and you won't do anything for yourself. You won't get up. You won't nothing. You're just doing nothing. You're just simply just out of fuel. and you cannot move forward. So either something's holding you back, or you've just simply become stagnant. Another reason, the number two, that you can't move forward is that you're trying to do something that is impossible, and that's move forward and backwards at the same time. Now, you can't do that successfully, but what you do is you take one step forward, but then you take two steps backwards. One step forward and then two steps backwards. Let me tell you how you do it. You go on one of these fad diets. I hate to use this one, but it's handy, okay? You go on one of these fad diets. No, I ain't eating no sweets right now. Oh, no, I can't eat that right now. I can't drink that right now. You want a piece of cake? No, I can't do that right now. And oh boy, you get out there and you talking about being on it, and you out there and you up in the morning and you running around the track and you do all of that. And boy, you done made one step forward. Until all of a sudden you start to reward yourself for disciplining yourself. I spent the last week, I ain't drank no sodas, I ain't had no Pepsi, no Coca-Cola, no Mountain Dew, I ain't had no cake, no cookies, I haven't eaten no Cheetos, no potato chips, I haven't had this, I haven't had that. I'm about to reward myself two steps backwards. Didn't they ever tell you don't go in the grocery store hungry? Right? My daughter sat down at the table yesterday. And she got the menu. And she officially said, I want everything on here. She said, I want everything. I am so hungry. I want everything on here. And she literally ordered the one that had everything. You know, the what do you call it? The combination there. How much of it did she eat, asked me. Not very much. Not unless she did have a carry-on. But, you know, you put yourself in this and you're trying to make progress. But in your progression, all of a sudden you want to reward yourself and you take two steps backwards. A lot of people who try to control their weight end up overweight. It's because they overcompensate. You know, okay? You got to have a discipline. And I'm going to get this step forward. I'm going to give this to you later on. Once you set in your mind that you're going to do something, you're moving forward. Now, remember that I told you this. You got to let your steps be ordered by God. You can't put yourself on your own regiment. You can't say what you're going to do. You've got to go to God and you've got to share with him your intent. And then you've got to look to him to be your help to work towards what your goals are. Did somebody get that?
Yes.
You can't say, I'm just going to stop. You can't do that. Y'all have to realize that even from being a former smoker, I quit so many times. I quit more than the average person. Until I discovered I can't quit. I had to express my intent before him of what I no longer desire to do. And then when I expressed that to him, then he gave me the regimen. Somebody asked me what my regiment was. The Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalms. This is mine. I'm not telling you to try this at all. Every time I wanted to smoke, I either recited the 23rd Psalms or the Lord's Prayer. That's my regiment. That was it. That's what he prescribed. Thus, I am delivered. This is a whole truth. There ain't no... I'm not leaving out the most important part. Well, first, the black mouth made me completely sick. And he showed me when it was in my hand, this is why you feel like this. Because I'm running, I'm working out. And oh, let me tell you, one step forward, two steps backwards. Oh, I would celebrate myself smoking because I could run 5 or 10 miles. So I can do that because it ain't making me have short breath. One step forward, two steps backwards. Okay? And I asked him to come in. Now remember that I told you that. All right? So you cannot also move. You cannot move forward when you are attached to non-productive relationships. This is all about covenant. Who are you in covenant with? You can't be in covenant with or attached to something that is dead, partnership or leadership. If you're attached to me as a leader and I'm not giving you something that is a rhema, nothing less than a rhema word, then there is no way that you're going to grow if this is all that you're listening to. I shouldn't have to invite you to leave. The Spirit of God should have you on your way right now. Why would you remain here when what I'm preaching is not a declarative word over your life to move forward, to move forward in the glories and the blessedness of God? Why would you come to this and continue to come to this ministry and sit here faithfully and be faithful and committed to this and support this with your finance when it's not feeding you? You got to feed into stuff that feed into you. You can't come and just listen to me because you like the sound of my voice, but your life is still ragged as a can of crowd. You cannot continue being attached and covenant to something that is unproductive. That's being unequally yoked. That's trying to move forward while you're settled in something that's going backwards. It's not that there is necessarily anything that's wrong with that ministry, but it is that the need is not connected with the provision that God has set for you. It's meeting for somebody else, but it's not doing what it's supposed to do for you. Why would I stay in a church ministry? Why would I stay in some place because I don't know how to get out? Any church ministry that has you there so that you don't know how to move forward when God tells you to move is a wrong one anyway. I'm not going to stay anywhere that's going to keep me past the hour that God said it's time for you to go. Somebody asked me the other day, when your mom said, ooh, at the end of calling your name, what did that mean? That simply meant, Don, she done called me once. Don, she done called me twice. And I heard her both times. But when she said, Don, ooh, that simply means I'm not going to call you anymore. Now, this, you got to be old. Some people know what I'm talking about, and they're probably just cracking up. Because if you live, that's what mama put on the end of it. She said, Don, ooh, I heard the first Don. It was just Don. I got a few more. I'm just listening for the ooh. God has put an ooh on the end of somebody's name in here, and he's telling you it's time for you to move on. Huh? It's time for you to move on. I'm telling you, you're expecting a different result and you're staying there, and it's not working together. It's non-productive. It's dead leadership. It's dead companionship. Well, let me tell you what God told Joshua. Joshua, you've been following Moses for many years, over 40 years. He was your mentor. You've been groomed by him. You've been conditioned by him. But you know what he told Joshua? My servant Moses is dead. Now, I want you all to translate what God just told Joshua. That's a wrap. That's a wrap. But he says, as I was with him, so shall I be with you. So you don't have to let your motivation in your life be that you've got to stay in the shadows of my life. You've got to cast your own shadow. You cannot have that extension cord type of life with God. Y'all know what an extension cord is? It's something that's in between that is a power conductor. It's not plugged into the source itself. There's an intermediary between that. The only thing between you and God is Jesus Christ. You can't put me, then Jesus, then God. You can't put your companion, then Jesus, then God. You can't put yourself, your job, then Jesus, then God. You have to plug right into the source. You got to cast your own shadow. What happens if you're living in the shadows of me? When I move, you move. When I stop, you stop. Huh? Now, in order for me to cast a shadow, there has to be some light that is causing there to be a reflection. But why would you stand in my shadow when you can get in the light and cast your own shadow? Why are you living in the shadows? My wife very well understands the difference between being submissive to me as a husband, but she's an individual when it comes to God. She has to stand in her own light. She don't stand in my light. She is not my shadow. When we come into ministry, I had to do away with that old concept of a preacher's wife, because she wasn't about to put on nobody's hat. You don't have to wear a hat. You don't have to line up with something that is a tradition. How are you going to lose your individuality and at the same time become what God wants you to be when you have become what somebody else wants you to be? I'm not threatened by that. As a matter of fact, I'm humbled by the idea to know that the authority that I have as a husband, that I can yield that up. And as God is merciful with me, I can in that same way share in times when I could be that dominant force, that I can just yield that away. And I'm going to give you an example so that you all can really get some stuff out of this. There was some years ago that my wife really needed to go to mom's house, and I couldn't go. And she lived in Anniston. And I thought about it for a minute. Well, wait a minute now. You know, you start thinking you're married to me and you ought to be here. I found joy in knowing that while I could say, no, I need you here, I found joy in saying, no, you go. I support you. Do you need me to go? Did y'all just catch what I just said? I found a greater joy in giving up what I had the power to do by being more giving and more sharing with that and supporting what she had to do. Is my supper cooked? How about I fixed you supper? Huh? Yeah. This is all a part of it. I want something that's productive. And it has to do with reciprocating. It's the giving. It's the sharing. It's the working together. But when I am working and I'm sitting on an end where I am just giving 100%, but all I'm getting back is 25%, there's no reason that your wilderness is totally gone wild. God makes it clear in Isaiah 43:18, as I'm getting ready to just move forward, he says, forget those things behind you, not dwell on the past. Don't recycle the past. Say that with me. Don't recycle the past. Now I want you to look at somebody else and say, don't cling to events of the past, nor dwell on what happened a long time ago. One of the surest ways to short circuit, to blow a fuse, or to burn something up is to attempt to move forward while standing still or while moving backwards. You're going to strip some gears. How many in here can drive a straight shift? Put your hands up real good. Can I use you for a minute, sis? Yep, you sure did. She know what I'm about to say. She learned. Was it a Chevy? Was it the red Chevy? Yeah. Convertible. Yeah, red Chevy convertible. She learned. She learned at the expense of a transmission. That second one. Was it second gear? I could just stripped out. You had to go from first to third because second wasn't there anymore. She couldn't find it, so she grinded. Huh? Until second just say, you know what? Just forget it. Go on to third. First, third. You're going to strip some gears. You're going to short circuit. You're going to blow a fuse trying to consistently go forward. Now I'm going to talk about something because I need to really get in and challenge you. I need to upset your equilibrium. You ain't getting no younger. You ain't getting no younger. You're getting older. All right? And let me tell you something. I don't have a bucket list. The sky is not the limit. I can't make a bucket list. I want to do too much. So I can't set a bucket list because all I do is just disappoint myself. I'm going to discover I'm in some places and I didn't even know I was coming here myself. I may be on the other end of a parachute one day and didn't ever realize that I just really knew that I just really wanted to jump. I didn't say I was. I say I don't know. All right? Hebrews 6 and 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1. Therefore, that's an adverb. In order for there to be something forward, there has to be something before. All right? Therefore, so he uses the adverb. He lets you know that there has been a former. Now there is a future. But you've told you already by direction, don't dwell on the past. There is one. I've got one, you got one. All God's children got a past. All right? When we get to this point in life, this is where we're going to set that past behind us. We're going to do what it's told us in Hebrews 6 and 1. Therefore, the adverb, leaving the principles of the doctrine of what? Of Christ. Are we hearing this right? Leave? Oh my God. Leave the principles of the doctrine of Jesus Christ? Are you reading that right? Is that correct? Yes. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us. Notice what Paul does in the writing. He makes himself a part of the productivity. He engages this act of covenant with them. Let us go on unto perfection. Now, when he uses the word leave, it's synonymous to what was over in Isaiah, which said forget. I can't forget, but what I can do is not dwell on it. You've got to leave the principles, simply meaning don't keep recycling the same thing over and over and over. Everybody got their favorite scriptures. Go and read the Bible and get another favorite one. Go on. There is more. There is greater. There is deeper. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, he's simply saying to them in their teaching, we're not going to get stuck here and start talking about what we're going to say while we're baptizing. We're not going to get here and get stuck on whether we ought to have communion on the first Sundays or whether we ought to do this on this Sunday. We're not going to get into ceremonialism. We're not going to get stuck in traditions. We're not going to get stuck in that. Now, let me tell y'all something. When I was growing up, this little area right here meant that you couldn't get in it. That's what this was. This was separate and it was sacred. And then they had a little table that was sitting right there, and that was a communion table. And I don't care if you're after church and you're up there talking, you better not lean over because, boy, every mother on the motherboard, every deacon on the deacon board would just, oh, they just faint. Man, they fall out. You couldn't touch that thing because that was sacred. And that was important. And, you know, in my studies, in my course of studies, in my discipline, I understood that we're set up like the tabernacle out here, the holies of holies, and I got all of that, and I got all of that. And it's okay if that's the way that it is, that you still don't want anybody coming up on this stage right here, and you don't want anybody touching all of that and touching all of that. Now, to me, this is just to me. I can't set any longer these little, these things that are here. I can't set them up as trinkets of ceremonialism. So if a kid comes up here, a child comes up here, and they want to come up on this stage, this ain't nothing but a stage. Because this is not going to change anybody who come up here and put on a collar and pick up a Bible and put a suit coat on, and it's going to make them something that God didn't call them to be. Hello, somebody. So if a man can come up here and he is unclean and he's up there and he ain't dropped dead, then why can't a child come up here? I think we want to make some time that we think that this 6 inches or 8 inches or 12 inches, or even if your dais is 2 feet, it doesn't make any difference how high you make it in your physicality. It doesn't mean that you have arrived in your spirituality. So, you know, you don't see the table anymore, and you don't see it is because I cannot make practical those things that yield to ceremonialism. You've got to not rehash and recycle these same things over. You can't come up here. You can't come up here. No better reason than I'd much rather a kid come up here and be on this area than to be out there being abused. Now, I'm not saying that there should not be some discipline, that there should not be some order. God loves order. When he writes this to the Hebrews, he is not saying violate the order. As a matter of fact, he's setting order. And that is, let us go on, because it's disorder to rehash and to recycle the same things over and over and over. The majority of you who are arguing about something, y'all been arguing over that with that same person for, you know, let that go. I refuse to talk about that anymore. Discussion not allowed. We are not going anywhere. This is less than productive. It's not doing anything. There is nothing perfecting about standing still or moving backwards. Say that with me. There is nothing perfecting about standing still or moving backwards. For the perfecting of the saints. It's for the perfecting of the saints. But perfection does not come with standing still nor moving backwards. On the contrary, standing still is stagnant, and anything that stagnates stinks. I don't mean to be gross and I don't mean to be offensive. But at least get under the water and move the dirt around. Don't let it stay in the same spot. That's what I did when mama told me to go take a bath. We had to take a bath in the tub. I got in the water and I splashed. I didn't get it off. I just moved it around. Stagnation stinks. And it doesn't make any difference what it is. Anything that stands still long enough stinks. CPR. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. From a former days of being an EMT. That's what it was. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Bring them back. Here is your spiritual definition for that acronym. C, be conscientious. I'm bringing you back. Be conscientious. Be conscientious. You got to be conscious of what's going on. Be aware. Scripture says also be vigilant, watchful, conscious of what's going on. My wife constantly tell me, watch your back. Which, I'm at the church, but watch your back. Watch your back. Which she's simply saying, don't let anything stop you from moving forward. Pay attention to what's coming up on you. Be vigilant. Watch your back. You got your pistol? Yeah, baby. Watch your back. Yeah, that's it. You know, that I had to put that in there because that's the whole truth of the whole thing. Two things. You got your pistol? Yep. Watch your back. All right? Be conscientious. Now, here's where it is in spiritually sense. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Now, there's no way that you're going to be. Trance simply means to do what? To move. In a moving situation. In a trance. Moving. Now, conform is just the opposite. To be what? Stagnant. Don't be, but move. Now, the stagnant part is on my behalf. Catch this. Be not conformed to this world. That's something I can do. Say this with me. Conformity is in my control. All right. Conformity is my control. That's something I do. When the scripture says be not conformed, it simply says don't make yourself so familiar with the ways of the world, with the ways of the flesh, and the ways of the devil, until it gets likable. Okay? Let me go back to something else. I always hated smoking. I couldn't stand. Only smoke I could put up with was mine. Because when you blew smoke, it was just, I can't take it. maybe I'm not the only one. I'm not going to tell y'all to raise your hand because y'all may be delivering your own address. But I couldn't stand anybody else's. Just my own. All right? That's conformity. I've made myself comfortable with this. I like it. But at the same time, I'm moving because I don't like it. But now I don't like my own. Okay, some people think they stuff don't stink. Conformity. Yours smell just as god-awful as everybody else's. All right? Conformity. All right? Yours, mine is just as bad. Conformity. I can do something about that. He says, don't linger. Don't let it last. I can do that. Now here is God's part. Be ye transformed. Who in here can transform themselves? Nobody. Can the butterfly do it? Neither can you. Every hair that is on your head is what? You can color it. You can tie it up. You can wrap it up. But can you stop it from falling out? You can put strengthener on it. You can put thickener on it. But when it's time for it to come out, it's coming out. That's God's part. The transformation, the moving of us. Your conformity is on your part. You can work with the conformity. God has to do the transforming. Say that with me. I work with the conforming. God does the transforming. Now, be not conformed to this world. This is being conscious, people. But be ye what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. God is doing the new thing. Now, the thoughts that I have of greater, it ain't so crazy as maybe I thought it was. Nothing's wrong with you because you want better. Nothing's wrong with you because you want greater. Nothing's wrong with you because you want to move forward. Don't permit anyone to get you to become complacent and stagnant. Well, this is it. This is all. Why don't we just, you know, being happy with what you got. Paul says, therefore, I make myself content, you know. And when I'm hungry, you know, I'm feeling, when I'm thirsty, I got this water, therefore I've learned to be content. Contentment does not mean stagnation. It means that I'm grateful as I'm moving forward. Huh? I am thankful as I'm moving forward. It doesn't mean that I'm settling. It doesn't mean that this is the end. But what it does mean that as God transition, as God transform, I'm going to be thankful in everything that he moves me into. It may not come up. It may not measure up to be what I thought it was going to be, but I give God thanks for it. And I know that I'm moving towards what is greater. C is for being conscientious. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The second thing is a P. Conscientious. P is to position yourself. Romans 12 and 6 and verse number 16 says, now, brethren, I beseech you by the tender mercies of God that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. All right, everybody right now, I just told you about ceremonialism and all of that stuff, and you're going to adorn the flesh, and you're going to get all of that, and you're going to just get, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. There ain't no way that you're going to just make yourself so beautiful to God that he's going to love you and just say, yo, you so pretty. Now, what you are is cute. You ain't pretty, you're cute. So, and most times that's not in a positive aspect. So I don't want you to come here with the eye makeup and all of that, but I want you to position yourself, and I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The only place that I can catch this is found in the book of Matthew in chapter 4, and that's where Jesus was at the Jordan River. Jesus knows that he is the Son of God. He knows that he is divine. But at the same time, he also knows that he is human. He knows that he is in the flesh. He knows that he is the birth son of Mary. He knows that he is as much divine, human as he is divine. Are you with me?
Yes.
He knows that he is as much human as he is divine. But watch this. Still, he humbles himself in his physical body. In his natural body, though he has no sin to wash away, he humbles himself. He positions himself. Pos- postures himself to go down into the Jordan River, being baptized by someone who is sinful, which is John the Baptist. Come on now. He who has no sin is being baptized by someone who is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Watch this now. And after the baptism, he further positions himself for what is before him. Y'all got to hear this now. Look at me and catch this. First of all, he permits himself, suffer this to be so. Baptize me. I know who I am. I'm not intimidated by who I am, but I'm not intimidated by you knowing who I am. And this is how you have to deal with situations on a daily basis. You don't have to be intimidated because you know that you're in a first place, but you're being put in a second place position. That's all right by me. That's okay because you come to me and say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have come to your company because I knew you were a small business. I should have went to somebody that was bigger. Baby, I knew when you got to realize I didn't call you, you called me. The only reason that I'm on the scene is because you dialed my digits. I didn't dial yours. I didn't say I have a product or a service to give you. You called me and asked me to come. Now you're going to tell me because it's something that you don't like about it that I should have called a bigger company or a larger company, but you're still talking to me. You're not going to get me frustrated and aggravated because at the end of this, I know that you know who you call. Huh? Now, people around me get upset and they say, well, that's an actual event. Okay. You done that, but I'm not moved by that. You can call it little, call it a startup company, call whatever it is, but I know what it is. I know where I stand. Huh? Somebody say, I know my stuff.
I know my stuff.
Come on now. I know what God has put in me.
Yes. Yes.
Huh? Look, let me tell you something. You wanted a slice of cake, you asked for it, right? Now you got to get that look off your face. Huh? You better go back, and when somebody look at you like whatever, Jesus knows what he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm? So after the baptism, what does he do? Notice what the scripture says in chapter 4, verse number 1. You should be looking at it. After the baptism in Matthew 3, at the last verse of Matthew 3, the baptism is over. Now what happens in chapter 4? We're talking about position. Matthew 4, verse number 1. What happens here? Then. Sometimes you got to just, God, work me in the scriptures. Just let this word, let me dig deep. Somebody say then.
Then.
Then. Then when? Why did they start off with then? In order for there to be a then, there had to be a that. If there wasn't a that, there couldn't have been a then. Don't ignore what happened. He was baptized by John the Baptist. Then. Huh? He was baptized that because of that then. The Father just finished saying, this is my beloved Son. And now here is the gates of hell opening up then. Now there was a crowd that was around him that was looking and blessed by what he was so humble to do. Now there is nothing out here before him. Then what happens? Then he is led by the Spirit. Somebody say position.
Position.
He is led by the Spirit of God to be what? Come on, you all. I thought you were there. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1. Because there was a that, now there is a. And the then says, then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Now, he had to be led into the wilderness because his life didn't have a wilderness. He had to be led into the wilderness because Jesus didn't have no wilderness in his life. Now, when everything is going good, and I ain't got no wild in my life, that does not mean that sometimes the Spirit is not going to lead you into the wild. Yea, though I walk, and the only reason I'm walking is because I was led through the valleys of the shadows of death. I didn't just walk in here.
It's because I didn't have to, but I was led here. And if I'm being led here, you better believe that the one who is leading me already have a plan for what's going to happen when I get in here. Don't think that just because that you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of God is not going to lead you in some places where God is going to prove who He is, not who you are. Jesus. I've had some failed relationships that did not say what I am not in a man. It showed somebody else what they are not in a woman. Jesus. Oh, God. Led. I'm trying to help you forget your past. You've let people make so many withdrawals out of your life until now your life is just nothing but an NSF. You've allowed so many people to come and just every time they come in, they take a part of you. Now, LaQuisha got a part of you. Daniel got a part of you. David got some of you. Sarah got this much of you. Somebody got all a part of you. And here you not are now in a deficit. You have absolutely nothing left because you've allowed people to come in and do nothing but withdraw out of you, take out of you. And not only is it in relationships, but let me tell y'all something real good because I'm about finished. I'm 27 minutes into this service right now. No, we started at 11:30. I'm an hour into it. Look at me. I've been talking so long that I didn't talk too long myself. You're letting family take so much out of you. You're letting family. Some of those, you people had a relationship with somebody good, but your family didn't want you to see with somebody good, so they tore that apart too. It's because it was working for you. Jesus. Sometimes your Mr. Right is your Mr. Right. It's just Mr. Wrong for your family. And you allow your family to tear you apart from what God wanted you to be covenant with. While I'm preaching, I may as well preach the whole thing. You need to position yourself. There is led into the spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God already knows the outcome. Why is it okay for you to go into this? It's because God already knows the outcome. I can go in because God knows the outcome. Now raise your hand and say, I'm coming out.
I'm coming out.
Why? Because I was led in.
God knows the outcome.
And God knows the outcome. You got to position yourself. C, be conscientious. P, position yourself. R, and I'm going to stop it on this, reverence yourself. Proverbs 3, grab it. Proverbs 3. Verse number 5. When you get there, somebody going to say, woo! Proverbs 3. Verse number 5. Woo! Somebody. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Reverence yourself. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Reverence yourself. Lean not unto your, but in all of your ways. And he will. Be conscientious. My consciousness. My position. My reverence. My consciousness. My position. My reverence. My consciousness. Let this mind be in me. Be not conformed to this world. My consciousness. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of my mind. My position. And being led by the Spirit to be tempted of. The devil is an employee of God. The opposite of up is. The opposite of left is. The opposite of left is. The opposite of God is. No, God don't have no opposite. That's your problem. There is no opposite of God. God is all great. He is all powerful. The devil is not an equal opposite of God. As a matter of fact, he is not even a competition. I can say this because Kenyon is not here right now. He is a Laker. He's out of there. I just had five people to turn me off because I just said that about the Lakers. No longer is the devil even in the playoff. He's not even in the finals anymore. He doesn't add up. He is not the opposite of God. Stop looking at him. He is an employee. God used him with Job. God used him with, in this case, he uses him where it is so that his glory is revealed. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse number 1. Now slide down to 10. Go down to 10.
Right, right.
Alright? Whatever. This is my final instructions to you. Whatever your hands find to do, do it. Well, that's all right. You ain't got to take this instruction. This is what I do. My life is set up like this. Do it with all your might. Huh? Do it. Make whatever it is that you propose to do, make it your signature. My daughter sent me her first concept of her business because all of my kids are entrepreneurs. And she sent me the first concept. And, you know, she's a lab technician. She messes with nothing but just vials of COVID and Ebola and all of that stuff every day. That's all she do. She has to be exposed to that stuff on a daily, every day for the last many years of her life. And she's doing something else now. Well, her concept, I can't expose all of it, but her concept has to do with her profession. But she's diversifying. So I'm this, but because I'm this, I can become this. And she sent me her first concept. And she always thinks I'm the guru of everything. Right? So she sends it into a text. And then I send it back to her and I tell her your brand has to be simple. I say, because when kids go by that would look like an M to me, like old McDonald's farm, your kids, before they can talk, they already know what that them golden arches are. It's an M. They call them golden arches. I call it an M. And your kids can force you to do something just because they see them golden arches. They can't say McDonald's, they can't spell McDonald's, but they know it when they see it. I say branding has to be simple. And so when she gave it to me, she came back to me about a couple of days later with something that was just so simple and so powerful. And then I sent her over. I could have sent her on the first step. And then I sent her over to a place where I showed her you don't have to recreate the wheel. Just go to this little site right here. And when she went to that little site right there, she couldn't believe it. And then when I told her that's where Sagent come from, she just blew off her feet. And she think I'm the great creator. It's not that I can know how to do everything. It's no, I know where to go to get everything. Hallelujah. You've got to know how to be resourceful. Whatever you find your hands to do, you got to do it with all of your might. I was talking to another daughter while I'm texting her. I'm texting Vanessa, talking to Donna. Donna says, I've got to buy some more books from Amazon because I told you they were all entrepreneurs. She says, because they're threatening to take my book off of Amazon because nobody's buying it. But she told me a couple weeks ago, she says, I'd be talking to Kiki, and me and Kiki talk every day since I left Alabama. And so I just start reading my book to her. And she says, I'm reading my book. And Kiki is listening to this, and Kiki is listening to me reading my book. And she enjoys it. So she's reading her book to her sister. So she's talking to me in a very wilderness moment. And when she got finished, I said, hey, baby. I said, why don't you get on Zoom, or why don't you get on Facebook, go live, and start reading your book. And those books that you bought, that you had to buy to keep your book on Amazon, while they're reading it, say, I'm going to give somebody this book today who's listening to me right now. Everybody ain't going to get a book. Somebody's going to have to buy a book. And she said, oh, dang. And she just went crazy. She says, I can't believe this. Whatever you find for your hands to do, you got to do it with all of your might. That's what the devil wants you to do. Go ahead and take your book off of Amazon. What you ought to do is tell the devil, back up a couple of steps. Get off of me. The devil is a liar. My book book will not come off of Amazon. As a matter of fact, I'm about to force my sales to go up. You've got to look at whatever it is in your life. Somebody, look at somebody else and tell them to move it forward. Move it forward. God told Joshua in Joshua 1 and verse number 9, he says, I want you to tell the children of Israel, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous, to do not be terrified, not be discouraged, for the Lord our God will be with you wherever you go. Somebody say, wherever I go. The reason that I can move forward is because my success is guaranteed. Say that with me. It's guaranteed. Come on, say it's guaranteed. How do you know it's guaranteed? Because of Romans chapter 11 and verse number 29. Write this one down because you're going to need this one when you get home. You're going to need this one when you turn me off. Romans 11 and 29 says, for God's gifts and his call is irrevocable. You cannot rescind what God has put to move forward. It cannot be revoked. Somebody say it can't be revoked. Cannot be suspended. It cannot be rescinded because my gift and my calling is irrevocable. Moving forward. That's it. I tended to labor in this teaching because I wanted you to walk away from here today with something that was refreshing. God is coming at you. He's coming at you with the forcefulness of his glory so that you can be moved from one glory to the next glory. I hail you today in whatever you have set up to do. I hail you. I salute you. I applaud you. I agree with you that the success is going to be great. Huh? You can't. You can't expect better until you just get greatness all in your life. Misty, Cannon was so aggravated and frazzled when he got home the other day. And it wasn't because of all the new stuff he had to go through. It was like, I think he was just dazed by the idea. I ain't ever been treated like that in my life. After he got around there and his coat, that's our pet. After his coat got down and it was completely dried out, he walked around and I said, boy, one day you're going to look as good as I am. He ran around there. He just showing, no one showing his nails and stuff. He all manicured and pedicured. He looking up. He know how to appreciate the finer things in life. Even our pets at home, they experience the wonders of God. Hallelujah. They know how to appreciate the wonderful things in life. You know, pets ain't got nothing else to do but to appreciate the wonderful things in life, especially when their owners, an ox knows his master and an ass knows his master's crib. So does our pets know. And I don't know how I got off on that, but that's just where I am. When it comes down, it goes all the way down, even to your pets. And he's just walking around there. And I feel the same energy. I say, you and I, and I like him because, you know, his age is, what, 12 of my one? Is that something like that? Something like that? Yeah, 12 of my one. So you gonna get old. Well, I get old. As a matter of fact, you only been around here for like 7 years, 8 years, and I've been here much longer than you, but you just as old as I am. Amen. But he look at him, and sometimes I tell him all we can do is he over there asleep, and I'm in my rocker asleep. That's right. We just old men sitting around there, but we know how to absorb and bask in the glory of God. God bless you. This has been a wonderful Sunday. I pray that you're taking something away. You got these scriptures. Wherever you are, whatever's before you, as you're getting ready to move forward into the interior of your wilderness, I want you to know that the outcome is going to be great. I want you to declare that on your social media. The outcome is going to be great.
Call somebody to ask you about it. I want you to tweet it now. Put it on there. The outcome is going to be great. Why? It's because I'm led in. The outcome is going to be great. Hashtag the outcome is going to be great. Y'all got it? Go ahead. Hashtag the outcome will be great. The outcome will be great. Hashtag the outcome will be great. The outcome will be great. The outcome will be great. Hashtag. That's what it is for this week, for the rest of this week, and until we meet again, God bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week here on our virtual service. To those that are here, I want you to stand in this room right now. Stand in this room right now. Hallelujah.
See his hand.
For I know.
Yeah. Because of you, my friend.